It's the Roll Tide Radio Talk Show every Friday from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola. You can listen to us through 1330 a.m., 99.1 FM, or through the ESPN Pensacola mobile app. And, of course, this show is brought to you by Ace Hardware on Highway 29 in Cantonment. Austin Price and Woody Waters here in the studio with you, as always. Woody, how are you, my friend?
I'm fine. How are you doing?
I am doing fantastic. Thanks for asking. We always regroup, you know, well, not regroup. I guess since it's for the first time, we just group before the show.
Yeah.
Just to kind of touch base, see what we're going to talk about. Obviously, very loaded slate today because we had a pretty tough showing for Alabama against the South Carolina Gamecocks. And, of course, we got Tennessee on the road. That's coming up tomorrow.
Yep.
And it's a loaded slate just in the SEC all around with Auburn, I think, being an upset alert for Missouri, but also Texas and Georgia. My goodness, that's huge. All right, so just to recap, for those who are big Bama fans, but hey, maybe you had plans on the weekend. You don't really know how the game went down. Just to give a recap, Bama was up 14-0. They gave up a wide-open touchdown. Jalen Milroe committed an avoidable safety. He threw a pick right before halftime. Next thing you know, halftime score is 14-12.
Yep, made it interesting.
Yeah, that's one way to put it. South Carolina went up 19-14. Jalen Milroe throws an interception in the end zone. They eventually take a 27-19 lead. So Bama is in control, but they have some lack of discipline, commit a face mask, I believe. That helps South Carolina on what was supposed to be a game-tying drive. They missed a two-point conversion. Hey, Bama's going to survive. Then South Carolina whips out a little something called an onside kick. Bama whiffs on it twice. South Carolina gets it. And if it wasn't for an interception that even a blind man could have picked off, I mean, Alabama was really in trouble of losing this game. So, safe to say, struggle win. Did not expect the Gamecocks to come out fighting like that. But you and I even agreed, South Carolina is better than their record implies.
They are. I mean, they've got just about as good a talent on the defensive line as anybody so far to date, but you know, we put South Carolina in a position to get back in the ball game, and we did it by doing some of the same things that we've been doing since the second half of the Georgia game. We're just an undisciplined football team.
Yeah.
Right now.
Well, and as you said, yeah, undisciplined is a really big problem. I used to notice it back when Bama played bigger games. They would make more careless mistakes, whether it was a false start, delay a game, something. They would just mess up. But, yeah, on these on what could be a game-tying drive, you can't have a face mask penalty or illegal hands to the face, whatever it was. You can't have that. Of course, by the end of the game, the Gamecocks had more yards. They had more first down. They had greater time of possession. They had one less turnover. They had one less penalty, I believe. But the only reason they didn't win the game is because they turned the ball over twice as many times as Bama.
Yep.
4 times to 2.
Yep.
But nonetheless, that still shows some issues with ball control for the Tide. And I do want to make it clear, while we applaud South Carolina for being a good team, they almost beat LSU. LSU's obviously looking real good right now. To almost beat, you know, LSU and almost beat the Tide, that says a lot of good about South Carolina. But, yeah, you can't ignore how ugly the Tide played, and especially, man, against – this is coming right before one of the biggest rivalry games of y'all's, not just your program, but this season in particular.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Tennessee-Alabama is always a tremendous rivalry, and it's going to be at Neyland Stadium. Tennessee's a three-point dog, which is motivation on their side. It's going to be a major battle.
Yeah,
but going back to the South Carolina game, Alabama missed 11 tackles in that game.
Gosh,
which they missed 11 tackles the weekend before. And yeah, we can't tackle. I mean, us watching the game, I mean, we trying to tackle people around the shoulders. You can't tackle somebody around the shoulders. You got to tackle them where you're supposed to tackle them,
right,
down low.
Yeah, around the waist.
Mm-hmm.
And, hey, maybe a shoelace tackle at worst.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this. You had mentioned, just speaking of the defense, or lack thereof, I suppose, you had mentioned Alabama being pretty low in SEC defensive rankings, correct? You said 15th?
On the statistics, yes. They are 15th out of 15 teams. the conference.
Yeah, gosh. I mean, I don't know who the team below y'all would be because it's a 16-team league, so I don't know who would be below y'all. But, man, as you said, it doesn't matter who's below you. You know, Bama being near the bottom just is. It's unacceptable. And I think even Bama haters are looking at this and saying, okay, what's going on here? Because, I mean, you expect Bama to be competitive. You know they have the talent to be competitive. So to see Jalen Milroe, who was looking like such a potent dual threat, he's now committing these turnovers, committing these – you know, it kind of reminds me, and we spoke about this earlier, it kind of reminds me of how he looked against Texas last year. You know, a bit more panicky, finicky, you know. And you can't have a player like that if you expect to win big games, especially in what is the best conference in college football.
Right.
I mean, just looking at Jalen Milroe's stats, he didn't bounce back against SC, threw for just over 200 yards and a touchdown. But when you toss into those aforementioned picks, you know, that's not exactly a stellar game. But on the ground, he ran in 2 scores, but he only accumulated, I can never say that word, accumulated 36 yards on 18 carries. 18. He was averaging 2 yards a carry.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe he's trying to do too much. I don't know. But he may be a little bunged up, too. I mean,
yeah.
Saturday, he didn't look like he was full speed to me. But that's just me.
Well, and that could definitely be the problem. I humored this. I ran this by you, and you thought, you know, it's or at least it seemed like, who knows, you may catch me off guard here. It seemed like you kind of agreed with me that perhaps, just perhaps, Alabama and Tennessee were maybe looking ahead. Because we saw Tennessee struggle with Florida. And I get that that's a rivalry game, and I get that Florida was on a win streak officially. But you know, Tennessee is obviously a better team than Florida. Tennessee in their own home, and then you got Bama at home against South Carolina. Both of them squeaking by like they did.
Well, that's very possible, as I said when we were talking earlier. But, I mean, I hate to keep going back to this, but if Nick Saban was there, that would have never happened. They would have never looked past South Carolina.
Right.
But with this new staff, it's possible.
Well, and I'm glad you mentioned the new staff because this is going to sound stupid. I'm already laughing trying to run it by you. But there is a narrative on social media that is against Kalen DeBoer, and the reason why is because in the immediate post-game on the field after the win over the Gamecocks, Kalen DeBoer was seen smiling. Now, just on a scale of 1 to 10, just give me a quick answer, Woody. Do you care that he smiled at all?
Yeah, I care.
Really?
Because it's serious.
Oh, wow.
I mean, the mindset should be serious when it comes to Alabama football, especially from a team standpoint.
Yeah.
Now, I mean, you know, is he smiling just to smile, or was there a reason for him to smile? I don't know, you know.
I think he was happy to get the win.
But, yeah, I mean, if he's glad that he won, yeah, I guess I could see that smile. But, you know, you need to wipe that smile off your face and my mind and get into the film and see what you can do to get better.
Yeah, something that was swirling around online was it was the photo of Kalen smiling ear to ear after that close win over South Carolina, and then it showed Nick Saban just staring daggers on the field when they were up on Notre Dame 42-14 in the national title game years ago. I think that's indicative of a difference in culture, difference in leadership? Sure. But, you know, you got some of these Alabama fans out here panicking online saying, what's he smiling for? And it is. It's funny, but I know that it's not. It is a serious issue. As you said, you got to take this seriously. You're filling some of the biggest shoes that college football's ever left behind. And you've got this blue-blooded program that does have a standard of excellence. We're not asking you to win every game 60-7, but we are asking you to keep this team as a contender. If you can make Washington a contender in, 2 years, you can make Alabama a contender.
Right.
You can keep that up.
And he needs to uphold the standard at Alabama.
Yes.
For each and every player to play their best on every down. And that's some of what we're not seeing.
Yeah. Speaking of those players, I give Jalen Milroe a hard time. I don't want it to come off as if, oh, this casual over here, he's just harping on the QB. No, there were other players that left some to be desired in the game against South Carolina. Jam Miller only had 12 carries for 42 yards. Ryan Williams, you even said Milroe missed a wide open Ryan Williams on one play. He ended the day with only 4 catches for 32 yards. Neither of those guys had scores. And then I will give Jeremy Bernard credit. He still did all right. He had four catches, 89 yards, and he had Milroe's only passing touchdown. So tip of the cap to Bernard. I'll give him credit for that. But yeah, I mean, offensively, defensively, you applauded South Carolina's defense. Do you think, and I don't ask this in an obvious sense, I mean, like, specifically, do you think that this could be a problem against Tennessee in the sense of, are you seeing anything on the Alabama offensive side, defensive side, that is going to be a good answer for Tennessee this weekend based on what we've seen these past couple weeks?
Nothing I can put my finger on, to be frank with you. You know, our offensive line scares me to death still. That Tennessee may just flat out bull rush us with some of their big defensive linemen. You know, based on how we played, I have a lot of concern.
Yeah. Well, and that's fair. I absolutely understand that. Because it almost sounds like a cocky question to ask, okay, well, after you've struggled these last two games, do you think you could beat a top 12 opponent on the road? I mean, I don't want it to come off that way. But, yeah, when you look at – I mean, Tennessee is obviously a very physical team. We'll touch more on it later, but I was telling you before, they hate y'all. You know, we'll get into the specifics of that. But just being in that environment, that physical of a team, obviously Tennessee is a pretty tough squad objectively. So, I mean, hopefully Alabama can find some sort of rhythm that's going to be able to get them past the Volunteers. Because if the last couple of weeks have been any implication, it's going to be a tough ride.
Yeah. Well, Alabama needs to play hard-nosed football.
Right.
So far up to this year, I mean up to this game, we hadn't seen that in Alabama.
Yeah.
I mean, they're a soft football team. That's how they played. And that has to change starting Saturday.
Yeah, well, and you mentioned the O-line, you know, sensitivity. Milroe, the intentional grounding in the end zone, they talked about it being avoidable, and it was. I'm sure that he could have scrambled out of the end zone to certainly avoid it. I'm sure he could have thrown it deeper downfield, so it would have been within a receiver's range. But the best way to avoid a safety in the end zone is to have your O-line not let your QB get swarmed in the end zone. So yeah, this is an O-line issue as well. We always talk about the impact players, you know, the quarterbacks, the receivers, the running backs, just like I mentioned earlier. But as you said, 100%, a team as physical as the Volunteers, the O-line's got to be stout. Want to ask you about this very quickly, because I don't think we're going to have time to get to it in the next segment, and we've only got a few minutes left here before we go to break. Do you think, and I don't want this how do I word this? It's not Alabama related, but I want to be delicate about it since we're on air. Kirby Smart shoving Michael Van Buren, Mississippi State's QB. He apologized for it, used the excuse of, I was trying to get my defensive coordinator's attention. Pretty much expected that was the excuse he was going to come out in. Do you think there should have been more, this is a rhetorical question, do you think there should have been more action taken against Kirby?
Yeah, first of all, The official was looking dead at him when it happened.
Yeah.
And
he looked upset.
To me, that's the first mistake. He should have been flagged.
Right.
For doing that.
And Greg Sankey, commissioner of the SEC, did say he should have been punished in game. He agrees, you know, with that sentiment. If the official sees it, don't give him a dirty look. Flag him. It's a penalty, and it's a severe one.
Yeah.
You don't touch the opposing team's player. We don't have a Woody Hayes moment.
No. And Kirby was totally out of line.
Yeah.
Totally.
And I will defend him in one regard. I just now mentioned Woody Hayes. A lot of people are comparing this to Woody Hayes. I don't think it's the same thing. Woody Hayes had a history of his temper and acting on players as a result. And also, he punched a player in the neck.
Yeah.
Okay? I'd rather be shoved than be punched in the neck. So let's settle down on the comparisons there. But I do think temper-wise, it was a Woody Hayes moment in the sense of, I think he lost his cool. I don't think he was thinking that, hey, I'm on a nationally televised game right now. I got cameras all over me.
Yeah.
I'm one of the biggest names in college football, and I'm acting the fool like this. I don't think he realized in that rage-filled moment that he was going to really send himself up the creek without the paddle.
No, but he definitely bowed up
and
shoved the guy.
And as we discussed, his apology, and it wasn't even a full apology because he didn't really address the shoving itself. He just acted like, oh, yeah, of course I apologized. Michael Van Buren's a great player, yada, yada, yada. You're not addressing the shove. Oh, no. I was trying to get my DC's attention. Why are you shoving anybody that way? Are you trying to imply that I meant to knock my DC, You know, yeah. I mean, come on. It's not a good look either way. You can't justify it. He tried his best. It didn't work. He should have been penalized. Does it highlight a bigger issue at Georgia with their culture issues? Yes, it does.
Yeah.
When players can't stay out of trouble, literally, and you've got your head coach bowing up, as you said, against the opposing team's QB, well, heck, what's he doing during practice? What's he doing when the cameras aren't on him? I mean, you know what I'm saying? So, yeah, it's concerning. Not trying to make a mountain out of a molehill here, but Kirby, you got to get that together, man. Anyway. Yeah.
Kirby should have been more restrained than that.
For sure.
For sure.
Absolutely. I mean, and as I said, it's rhetorical to say, oh, well, the SEC, do you think they should have taken more action? Of course they should have. Or the officiating. Something should have been done. You got to make an example out of something like that. But anyway, just wanted to touch on that because I know we're going to be devoting more time to the specifics of this Tennessee rivalry coming up. Speaking of which, you're listening to the Roll Tide Radio Talk Show. We're going to go to a quick break when we return, touching on Tennessee, the rivalry factor, what it's going to take to not be fazed by Neyland Stadium, so on and so forth, right here on ESPN Pensacola. And, of course, this program is brought to you by Ace Hardware on Highway 29 in Cantonment.
It's time for some football, and Ace Hardware in Cantonment is geared up with everything you'll need to make your cookout and tailgating party a win.
Green 18!
Big Green Egg, Napoleon, and Traeger grills, tents, propane fills, Yeti coolers and tumblers, folding chairs, folding tables, and outdoor umbrellas, plus hardware items to get your patio, pool, or outside deck in winning shape. Think football, think Ace Hardware in Cantonment, and score big time. Ace Hardware, 1560 South Highway 29.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Fall Sale and get 30% off paints and stains from October 11th through the 21st. With prices starting at $34.29, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your bedroom, living room, or home office, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Shop the sale online or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Hey, Pensacola, Dave Ramsey here. Trust your vehicle to the best auto service center in Pensacola, Bobby Likas Auto Service. For years, you've relied on Bobby Likas Auto Service on Davis Highway for maintenance and repairs, and now you have a choice. Keep taking your vehicle to the Davis Highway shop or go to their new location on Pensacola Boulevard, 8969 Pensacola Boulevard, right across from the Super Walmart. And don't forget to tell them, Dave Ramsey said, hey.
All right, gentlemen, this is Emmitt Smith on behalf of Depend, and I've got the perfect play. Run straight to your doctor's office for a life-changing catch. Because when prostate cancer is caught early, it's up to 99% treatable, and one blood test might be all it takes. And now through November, Depend is donating to the Prostate Cancer Foundation for select purchases. Talk about a great play.
From September 1st to November 30th, Depend is donating 40 cents to the Prostate Cancer Foundation for Depend Shield Guards Real Fit products purchased in the U.S. up to a maximum of $300,000 void in Mississippi.
Flu season is approaching, and Jackson Pace Pharmacy is your one-stop shop for acute conditions. With their test and treat program, they are providing same-day diagnostic testing and prescription treatment for strep throat, flu, and COVID-19. No insurance can be used to bill testing procedures, and maximum out-of-pocket cost will be $40. Visit them today at the corner of 9 Mile and Pine Forest Road. No appointment necessary. Walk-ins are welcome from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Or visit them online at jackson-pacepharmacy.com.
It's weed, not alcohol. It just relaxes me. I'm a better driver when I'm high. I do it all the time, no problem.
THC reduces your reaction time by half a second, impacting your attention, coordination, and lane tracking. A delay of just half a second can be the difference between life and death. Stay alert, stay alive. Don't drive high.
This message is sponsored by the Florida Department of Transportation, the Florida Association of Broadcasters, and this radio station.
Hurricane season is here, and when the next storm approaches, you'll want to tune into our sister station, News Radio Pensacola, your source for the most up-to-date and accurate hurricane and severe weather coverage. News Radio Pensacola will have wall-to-wall coverage of the storm, tracking its path, reporting on evacuations, power outages, and any damage to our community. They'll have the latest forecasts, emergency instructions, and updates on recovery efforts. Stay informed with News Radio Pensacola's comprehensive hurricane coverage, now on 92.3, 95.3, AM 1620, online at newsradio923.com, or on their mobile app. ESPN Pensacola, 1330 AM, 99.1 FM is your home for the NFL primetime games on the radio.
football.
That's Thursday night football,
Sunday night football,
and Monday night football.
Also, be sure to catch the early games Sunday mornings when the NFL is traveling overseas.
So how do you know which games we're carrying?
Easy.
Just follow us on Facebook /ESPN Pensacola.
ESPN Pensacola. All sports, all the time.
It's the Roll Tide Radio Show every Friday from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola. And, of course, brought to you by Ace Hardware on Highway 29 in Cantonment. Austin Price and Woody Waters here in the studio with you, as always, every Friday morning. And when we left off, we were talking about a couple topics going on throughout the SEC. But, of course, we led in with the Alabama-South Carolina situation, how that was an ugly win. I do think Alabama won that game because they were the less ugly team. I think it's as simple as that. Talking about Tennessee going on the road and what it's going to take to win that game, I'm going to tell you right now, you mentioned this earlier, Woody, that the spread, Alabama is favored by 3 still, and that's on the road. You mentioned that being fuel for the Volunteers, and I don't doubt that it is, but I think something else that's fuel for them is that we talked about Tennessee struggling as well at home against a conference opponent, and it was Florida. That's a rivalry game. Alabama-South Carolina ain't a rivalry. Tennessee and Florida is. Alabama struggles at home. They don't move in the rankings. Tennessee struggles at home. They drop 3 spots. They fall out of the top 10. Do you think that adds to the motivation at all?
Well, yeah, I think that plays into it. I think Tennessee is just like Alabama. They're just trying to find some place that they can or any place they can get better
right
now because they're both struggling. And so we'll see. But I think the fact that Tennessee is a 3-point dog is going to provide motivation for them, obviously. Alabama's just got to get themselves motivated to go up and play a hard-nosed football game and do what they're supposed to do.
Neyland Stadium, one of the largest stadiums, not just in the country, but also in the world, housing, of course, over 100,000 people. I mean, really, a coliseum, to say the least. And I honestly think if this would be a bigger problem for Bama, and I don't even know if Bama would be favored if this game were at night. It's at 2:30. But, you know, you see on TikTok all the time these edits of like, oh, the spooky Rocky Top at night and all that, you know, and the scenery there. And it is. I mean, it's pretty daunting. So I think if this game were at night, that would change the spread in Tennessee's favor a little bit. But I mentioned this to you earlier, and I don't think you thought it was like some wild take. I think you could have seen where I was coming from. Tennessee, I'd argue that they are Bama's most hate-filled rival. I think Tennessee hates Bama more than Auburn does. I think Tennessee hates Bama more than LSU does. And I simply believe that because Auburn and LSU, when you look at what they've done in the last 15, 20 years, they can't hate Bama, not as much as Tennessee does. They can say, oh, yeah, we always have a rivalry with them. We don't like the Tide. We don't like it when they succeed. But Auburn can sit here and say, we've got a title in recent memory, you know, in the last 15 years. We've got title appearances. LSU can say the same. We've been able to beat Bama. We've been able to derail their season, whatever. Tennessee can't say that. And up until 2022, they didn't even have a win over Saban.
No, they went 15 straight years when Saban was the head guy.
Yeah.
That they were Saban's whipping boy.
Right.
But Tennessee-Alabama goes back years, I mean,
exactly.
60 or more years, to where Alabama-Tennessee has come down. I mean, it's always, a tough-fought ball game. Mm-hmm. And I expect nothing short of that this year.
I agree with you 100%. The last time Alabama, of course, was in Neyland Stadium, we had the – I think it was a forgettable Bama team in the sense of it wasn't like some all-time great Bama team. It was playoff or knocking on the door of playoff, but it did not make the CFP. It had a couple rivalry game losses that year, but that was Tennessee's best team in the 21st century. 11 wins, bowl winning, Orange Bowl winning Hendon Hooker-led volunteer squad there. And even then, all of that at home, they won 52-49 as time expired. Mm-hmm. So it took all of that to go their way just to get one win over Saban in his time with the Tide. I think they look at that. They look at how their program hasn't been as competitive in the 21st century. They, as you said, it used to be such a huge rivalry competitively, and now Tennessee is taking a huge step back, but now they're getting better again. And they're going to be at home. They're going to be trying to bring the house down. We already humored that they and Bama could have both been overlooking last week ahead to this one. I humored earlier this year that Tennessee on the road may be the toughest game for Alabama this season. And with Georgia kind of having some holes in them and with you beating them already, I think that point could still very much stand.
Yeah, yeah, very well. And I think you may be right. Tennessee may be the toughest ball game for Alabama as far as a road game goes.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, it's just so many intangibles that go into this game. And, you know, it's a tough place to play. Tennessee hates us. We hate Tennessee. So there you go. It's not going to be a nice game. It's going to be some joying back and forth on that football field. That's for sure.
Right. And that's the thing. I jotted down some things that are going to be some problems for Bama. And I see two major eyebrow raisers here. I see the Vols have a pretty good defense, and they've got a score-heavy rushing game. So for context here, the Vols have not given up 20 points in a game once. Not once this year. As for their rushing attack, they've got a running back. His name's Dylan Sampson. He's amassed 700 yards and 15 touchdowns this year. On 118 carries, he's averaging 6 yards.
And that's their key.
Right.
I mean, a lot of people look at Tennessee and say they from an offensive standpoint, they throw the football. Well, yeah, they throw the football. But they throw the football to create the run.
Right.
And this kid that you're talking about here, he's a really good football player. And if they can establish him and establish the run, it's going to make it tough on Bama to stop him.
Yeah. Sampson has scored at least one touchdown in every game the Vols have played this season, and he's hit the century mark on the ground game in every game he's played. The only time he didn't, he had 92 yards against Oklahoma, and Oklahoma – heck, man, defense is all they got. So, you know, props to Sampson there. But that's what it's going to take. Don't sleep on them. Sleeping on them is what gets you 1.5 losses to Vandy in South Carolina. Don't sleep on them. Ball control, and you got to contain Dylan Sampson. I think those are the three difference makers here.
Those are keys.
Yeah. And that, you know, I won't give my score update yet, obviously. But I do believe that this is going to be a low-scoring game. I do think defense will be a difference maker. It's not going to be some 10-7, don't get me wrong, but I think it'll be a close game, just like the spread implies. And I see both of these teams probably scoring maybe in the 20s.
Yeah, I do too.
Yeah. So we'll get our score updates on that. But speaking of score updates, listen to this segue, Woody. Listen, you're going to be so proud of me for this one. We've got our score up. We've got our score checks or score predictions rather coming up after the break. How about that? 10:30. We'll take a quick break. When we return, big games going on around the SEC, including Auburn, Mizzou, South Carolina, Oklahoma, LSU, Arkansas. That's the one that Woody reminded me of. I forgot to mention that one earlier. So heavy, heavy week for the SEC. We got score predictions on that and more, of course, as we get throughout the hour. We've got more nationally relevant games. But until then, you're listening to the Roll Tide Radio Show every Friday from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola. And, of course, brought to you by Ace Hardware on Highway 29 in Cantonment.
It's time for some football, and Ace Hardware in Cantonment is geared up with everything you'll need to make your cookout and tailgating party a winner.
Green 18!
Big Green Egg, Napoleon, and Traeger grills, tents, propane fills, Yeti coolers and tumblers, folding chairs, folding tables, and outdoor umbrellas, plus hardware items to get your patio, pool, or outside deck in winning shape. Think football, think Ace Hardware in Cantonment, and score big time. Ace Hardware, 1560 South Highway 29.
Jimmy, the Mercedes is making a strange noise.
Mr. Fix-It!
Did you just tell me to fix it?
No, I said take it to Mr. Fix-It Auto Clinic. They specialize in all the luxury imports and domestic cars. They've got the latest technologies and the equipment to fix our car. And they have the lowest prices in town.
They're on North Palafox, right?
4701 North Palafox in Pensacola, just north of the Pace-Palafox split.
With fully certified technicians and a nationwide warranty on parts and labor, it's Mr. Fix-It Auto Clinic, where one call does it all. 850-741-4274.
Bet live with Hard Rock Bet. Real-time wagering till the very last play. Missing the kickoff doesn't mean all bets are off.
Delay a game on the guy who hasn't bet yet.
Sometimes you just know your team is going to come back.
The sportsbook for every kind of player.
Hard Rock Bet. Roll with us.
Get up to $100 back if your first bet doesn't win. Payable and bonus bet up to $100, not a cash offer. Offered by the Seminole Tribe of Florida. Must be 21 plus and physically present in Florida to wager. Terms and conditions apply. Concerned about gambling? Please call 1-888-ADMIT-IT.
Great game. You got into the end zone again and again. How'd it feel?
Awesome. Like getting a new iPhone again and again. I just got the new iPhone 16 Pro today.
Really?
Yeah. And with AT&T Next Up Anytime, I can upgrade early every year.
Very nice.
Feel like an MVP again. Learn how to get the new iPhone 16 Pro on us and the latest iPhone every year with AT&T Next Up Anytime. AT&T. Connecting changes everything. Offer subject to change. Additional fees, terms, and restrictions apply. $0 offer may not be available on future iPhones. Next Up Anytime feature may be discontinued at any time. See att.com/iPhone for details.
Four.
Elevate your game at Scenic Hills Country Club, where casual southern charm and recreation blend to provide a first-class experience. Discover our championship golf course, restaurant, and bar, all open to the public. Join us at Scenic Hills on Wednesdays for karaoke, trivia on Thursdays, and live music on Fridays. Visit ScenicHills.com to learn more and book your next round. Scenic Hills Country Club, where every moment makes a memory.
True Work is the most technical workwear in the world, delivering modern solutions to timeless job site challenges. Innovation meets tradition in True Work's high-performance lineup of work pants, shirts, and jackets, all engineered to give you the comfort and protection you need, especially in the most extreme conditions. Check out the full lineup with over 50,000 five-star reviews at truework.com and use the code SPORTS15 to get 15% off your first order. That's TRUEWERK.com. True Work helps you be your best when the weather's at its worst.
Tomorrow in college play, the UWF Argonauts take on Chowan University at 11:45 a.m. on ESPN Pensacola.
It's the Roll Tide Radio Show every Friday from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola. And, of course, brought to you by Ace Hardware on Highway 29 in Cantonment. Austin Price and Woody Waters here in the studio with you. Now, as I tried to smoothly transition to before the break, which I failed to do, I was going to try to lead us into some of these other games going around the SEC, looking at some score predictions here, because it's actually expected to be a very competitive weekend, even in some of the games that are less competitive by face value. We'll get started early here, Woody. Auburn, I know, the dreaded name, he who shall not be named, goes to number 19, Missouri. That's an early game. That's 11 a.m. Mizzou favored by 4. I've already said that I've got Mizzou on a bit of an upset alert here. Do you agree?
Yeah, it's a possibility. It all depends on if Auburn continues to play the same type football they've been playing, or they play error-free, mistake-free football. If they do that, they could beat Missouri handily.
Yeah, I think Auburn is one of those teams, and you're going to find out this is a common trend in the SEC, at least this year, but Auburn's one of those teams that is better than they look. We said earlier South Carolina was better than they look, and we've got a couple more on here that I feel match that same description. Auburn, yeah, very physical defense, good running game as well. They go on the road. Mizzou lives and dies by the rushing game.
Yep.
When Texas A&M had a great rushing game, they shut down Mizzou, that's what gets you 41-10.
Mm-hmm.
So I think Auburn's coming off a bye week. I think they can win this game. I had them winning this game on War Eagle Weekly yesterday morning. I'll take Auburn 20-17. South Carolina goes to Oklahoma. Now, I thought this was kind of strange. Oklahoma's only favored by 1.5 in Norman. I find that surprising.
Interesting. I'm not going to be surprised if South Carolina wins that football game.
I guess the whoever's responsible for the spread won't be too surprised either. I mean, I've got Oklahoma winning. I've got them covering because I think Oklahoma and South Carolina, once again, are both better than they look. Oklahoma, yeah, man, their offense sucks, but their defense is lights out. And they always say defense wins championships, and ain't going to win Oklahoma won this year. But, they, you know, you hear that defense wins championships. Oklahoma, once again, at home, their only losses are to top 12 teams. They lost to Texas, and they lost to Tennessee. So I'm not sold on Oklahoma being some mediocre squad like some people believe they are. I'll give them this win, and heck, once you pick a winner, it's pretty easy, you know, as to whether or not they're going to cover the spread. I'll take Oklahoma by more than a point and a half to beat South Carolina, but hopefully it is a good game. At that point, you look at those two, you just hope it's competitive.
Oh, I think it'll be a good game, but right. I think South Carolina could win.
And, of course, at 2:30, we've got Alabama-Tennessee. We'll touch more on that one, of course, as we get closer to the end of this broadcast. But that's one of the games of the week for sure. Hopefully one of the games of the year. And here's one that won't be. Texas A&M, top 15 opponent. They go on the road, but it's to Mississippi State, who's got a five-game loss streak. Texas A&M, and this spread has gone up. They're only favored by 18. Three possessions. I would not be surprised if Mississippi State covers that because they can trip teams up. Texas had a slow start against them. Georgia never pulled away from them last week. But if your only win's over Eastern Kentucky, you can't really expect me to give you much of a chance here.
Right, right. I can't see the 18. I think it'll be less than that. But I would go with Texas A&M.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. Maybe Mississippi State keeps it within two scores. But even if they do that, they're losing by double digits. Then we've got number 8 LSU at Arkansas. You know, when you're sharing territory with Bama at Tennessee and Georgia at Texas, it's very easy to overlook this game. But Arkansas is one of those teams that, once again, they don't look that bad. They have a win over Tennessee. They're Tennessee's only loss. They have narrow losses, close. They lost by 4 to that Texas A&M team we just talked about. And they lost in double overtime early in the year on the road at Oklahoma State. Outside of that, Arkansas has been phenomenal. This is a tough rivalry game, tough place to play, and LSU is riding high after a close loss or a close win, excuse me, over top 10 Ole Miss.
Well, a couple of things. LSU's quarterback is playing better and better, which is good for them. But Arkansas is coming off of a bye, and they're getting several key players back. One is an offensive lineman. Cannot remember his name off the top of my head. But anyway, they've got some key players coming back, and this is another game in Arkansas at night where that stadium will be routed, be, you know, really rowdy. So it's going to be a great game, I think.
Yeah, LSU is favored by 2.5 in that. I appreciate you mentioning Razorback Stadium in Fayetteville. There it is. It's a tough place to play, and it's so easy for it to be overlooked by not just the bigger stadiums, but also the more successful teams. Obviously, Bryant-Denny's brutal, Neyland Stadium, Kyle Field, Tiger Stadium, Death Valley, the Swamp. All of them are, you know, ranked ahead of Arkansas. But I don't mean Arkansas is a, you know, it's not like you're playing at UMass, all right? So I do think LSU is going to win. I've said that all throughout the week. But the more I say it, the more I doubt it. I've got LSU winning. Wouldn't be surprised if Arkansas covers that 2.5-point spread, though. We're talking by hairs here.
Yeah.
And then we've got Ball State going to Vandy. Now, I don't really care to dig into this game. I think we've all got Vandy winning. But I do want to say a lot of people are a bit up in arms that Vanderbilt's not ranked. And I think we can talk about this, considering that Vandy's claim to fame is beating Alabama this year. And look, do I think Vandy is capable of consistently beating a team of Bama's status? No, obviously not. But they nonetheless did, and they were double-digit dogs going into Kentucky last week and won that as well. And they are now 4-2. They're winning twice as much as they're losing. Why is this team not ranked? Answer me, Woody. What's happening here?
Well, I think they should be ranked. I mean, even if they're 25th. But, you know, barring any key injury to their key players, Vandy can play with just about anybody. Now, in a few weeks, I don't know what their schedule really looks like, but Texas comes to Vandy to play Vandy.
Yeah.
So we'll see how well they play Texas. But Vandy could win a large chunk of the remaining games on their schedule very easily, in my mind.
Yeah, Vandy, they do have a – I've seen it. It's a tough schedule, but, I mean, a bowl game should definitely be within reach. Hosting Texas is huge. Let me tell you something. If Vandy is ever able to say by the end of the season that they had a year where they beat a top-ranked Bama and a top-ranked Texas in the same season – I might just have to buy a Vanderbilt jersey.
Yeah.
That's just phenomenal. But
yeah, they'll tear the goalpost down again if they beat Texas.
I think I would rip a bleacher up and take it with me. but, yeah, we'll cross that bridge when we get to it. Bottom line is Vanderbilt, they're hosting Ball State. Ball State, a MAC school, they're 2-4 on the year. Vanderbilt favored by 26.5. I can't believe I'm saying this, but I'm looking at that four-score Vandy spread there, and I think Vandy covers.
They very well could. I have no clue about Ball State. I hadn't seen them.
They're terrible.
But, you know, Vandy, they're a good football team. I'll just say that.
I'll take them in the realm of, like, I don't know, just to give a number here, 42-13. I'll give them something like that. All right. Now, this is if Bama-Tennessee turns out to not be the biggest game in the conference, it's going to be this one. Number 5, Georgia at number 1, Texas. Georgia's kind of limped to the finish line in a couple games. We haven't, outside of a slow start and a fast finish against Mississippi State, we haven't really seen Texas struggle at all.
No.
They are quite deserving of that number 1 ranking right now, and they are at home. However, the spread's only 4.5 now. It's getting narrower by the moment.
Yeah, But Shark is going to have Texas ready to play.
Right.
And they're going to come out of the gate. They're going to want to come out of the gate fast, and I think they will. But on the other side, Georgia has got to start fast. If Georgia plays like they played previous games this year, start slow, I think that's not going to be good for Georgia.
Right. And Georgia, you know, when you're a national title contender – and you've got a national title winning head coach. We've seen Alabama do this. You'll squeak past an opponent or two, or you'll struggle with someone more than you should. But when that big game comes rolling around, you always show up. I don't think Georgia's any different. I'm sure they're going to show up for this. It's just a matter of, man, you're going to Austin, Texas. You're going to DKR. You look great, but Texas has looked greater. It's really tough. I've got it being a 4-point game. So the 4.5-point spread is quite appropriate. I've got my score being 34-30. High-scoring game, relatively. We're decided by inch in here. We are deciding by inches here.
Yeah.
Close game.
Yeah. I think it's going to be close. I don't think it will be a blowout. But I see Texas winning this game.
And I will say with absolutely just a bigger thing here, Georgia, let's say they lose. If Georgia loses, let's say we're right, they fall to 5-2 on the season. If they win out, they're still making the playoff.
Yeah.
If your losses are by single possessions at Bama and at Texas, you're going to make the playoff. So don't sweat it, Georgia. Don't take it personal that we think you're going to lose. All right. Then we got Kentucky at Florida. Now, this is the underdog game of the bunch, I think. It's between two unranked teams. But this rivalry has been quite topsy-turvy the past few years, to say the least. Florida, I remember a time where Florida had an active win streak over Kentucky that reached back to the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
That is not what we're seeing now. Mark Stoops has Kentucky playing, at the very least, competent football. And Florida, they've crumbled. They tried to bounce back with a win over Tennessee, really tried to catch some steam, fell just short of doing so. They're back home now. They know this is a game they got to win. You can't have Kentucky continuing to own the Gators. But Kentucky still has a 1.5-point spread going into the Swamp at night. This game's at 6:45. Do you think Florida gets the home upset, quote-unquote?
Based on previous history, no. Kentucky always plays Florida better.
Yeah.
Or over the last 4 or 5 years anyway. And, I mean, if Florida can go play and eliminate mistakes, not make those costly mistakes, then, yeah, I could see Florida winning. But it's going to be hard for Florida to beat Kentucky.
Right.
But, you know, I'm going to say Kentucky's going to beat Florida.
Let me ask you a semi-related question. Billy Napier. Everybody was, after just a few weeks, everybody was eyeing this bozo saying, you're kaput, all right? It's just a matter of when. However, I'm going to slow down on that. Your losses have been to who? Miami, who's like number six in the country, and that was a season opener rivalry game. You lost to Texas A&M, who's now top 15, and you lost to Tennessee on the road in overtime. The games that you are supposed to win, you've won them convincingly. You beat up on Samford, you beat up on Mississippi State on the road, and you beat UCF by double digits. If you host this Kentucky team and win, do you think that kind of helps save Napier, perhaps?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I think it wouldn't. It's certainly not going to help it. I mean, hurt it. Yeah, I could see it. I mean, Florida, looking back at the Tennessee game last week, they played great ball game. And who's to know or who's to say that the ball game last week would have been different had Florida's quarterback not got hurt.
Right.
And left the game.
Yeah, you mentioned Graham Mertz out for the season.
He's out for the year. That's one reason I'm saying Kentucky is going to come out on the higher end on the scoreboard this year, this game.
Right.
But, you know, it's going back to Napier, not going to hurt him in any way, for sure. Yeah. I mean, I think Florida's close to turning the corner. In its football program. If they will leave Napier alone, he may eventually get it done.
Right. Well, and I think I do agree with you. I think this is indicative of that. If you can break the drought against Kentucky and have a winning record over halfway through the season, playing the toughest schedule in America, I think Napier would be making a pretty darn good case for himself. However, I think if he loses at home to this Kentucky team, even though Kentucky is favored, I think that is going to have a lot of the upset emotions that Florida fans have had. I think they're going to have it come flooding back. I feel like this could be a make or break for Napier's job security right now.
Could be.
I have Florida winning. If they don't, boy howdy do I feel sorry for them. All right, just about 10:50 here. We'll take one last quick break. When we return, we'll cover some of the games that are swirling around the top 25. We've got Oregon playing tonight. Some people think that could be an upset alert. We'll get the confusing details on that. And more coming up after the break. It's Roll Tide Radio right here on ESPN Pensacola, 99.1 FM, 1330 AM. And, of course, brought to you by Ace Hardware on Highway 29 in Cantonment.
It's time for some football, and Ace Hardware in Cantonment is geared up with everything you'll need to make your cookout and tailgating party a winner. Big Green Egg, Napoleon, and Traeger grills, tents, propane fills, Yeti coolers and tumblers, folding chairs, folding tables, and outdoor umbrellas, plus hardware items to get your patio, pool, or outside deck in winning shape. Think football, think Ace Hardware and Cantonment, and score big time. Ace Hardware, 1560 South Highway 29.
It's football season, and Vivid Seats is your ultimate destination for all the action on the gridiron. With a game-changing rewards program, plus an amazing selection of tickets, Vivid Seats ensures that every fan can catch their favorite teams and players in action. Vivid Seats has you covered with deals that cater to every football enthusiast, and all tickets come back by a 100% buyer guarantee, giving you peace of mind with every purchase. Just visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats, the official ticketing partner of ESPN.
The Port of Pensacola, where history and opportunity converge. Since 1754, they've been a cornerstone of Northwest Florida's economy. And today, they're home to over 20 leading businesses, including C-Mex Materials, General Electric Verona Wind Energy, and the prestigious American Magic Sailing Team. More than just a port, they're a vital part of our region's growth. Discover the potential at portofpensacola.com.
Why is Bray Jewelers the best place to buy an engagement ring? Come in and see our selection. I promise you, we have more diamond engagement rings than you'll see anywhere in the panhandle of Florida. But it's what you do for people that they don't expect that they remember. The little things that we do, we want to deliver special experiences for you at Beret. We love doing what we do, and we love making people happy. We want every person that walks into the store to feel like you're part of our family. I want everybody to have an amazing experience at Beret Jewelers.
Hey, fans! Welcome back to Fansville's Cheers and Tears. Oh. Okay, so like everybody deals with losing, right? To a rival on a last-second field goal. Whatever, it's fine. I'm totally fine. But I cope with losing with an ice-cold Dr. Pepper. Those 23 flavors are like so delicious. They totally wash away the pain of your college football team taking a big fat L. College football, it's a pepper thing.
Soccer fans, watch the top 12 SEC soccer teams battle it out at Ashton-Brosnahan Soccer Complex at the 2024 SEC Championship, November 3rd to 10th. Tournament passes are $45 with student and military discounts available. Kids 12 and under in jerseys get in free on November 3rd and 5th. The championship game is on November 10th with a free fan fest before. The SEC Soccer Tournament is back. Info and tickets available at PensacolaSports.org.
Hey, Pensacola sports enthusiasts, get ready for an action-packed day of sports talk on ESPN Pensacola. Starting at 9 a.m., it's Greeny with Mike Greenberg. Then, from 11 to 2, buckle up for the Rich Eisen Show, where Rich dives deep into the day's biggest sports stories. At 2 p.m., don't miss the Paul Feinbaum Show, your ticket to the world of college football and beyond. And at 6 p.m., wrap up your day with Amber and Fitz. It's a lineup that hits out of the park on 1330 a.m., 99.1 FM. Stay plugged into the sports conversation. The Rich Eisen Show on weekdays after Greeny at 11 to 2 on ESPN Pensacola, 1330 AM, 99.1 FM.
It's the Roll Tide Radio Show every Friday morning from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola. You can listen to us on 99.1 FM, 1330 a.m. or on your ESPN Pensacola mobile app. And, of course, you can thank Ace Hardware on Highway 29 in Cantonment for sponsoring this broadcast. As always, brought to you by Austin Price and Woody Waters in the studio. So not only is Ace Hardware sponsoring it, but you got us here, our beautiful voices, just lullabying you, hopefully not to sleep if you're on the roads. But my you know, crappy stand-up, that can wait for another day. All right. We were last talking about the SEC predictions here, just looking at some of those SEC games, pretty loaded slate, giving our thoughts on who was going to win which game at which time, by which score, whatever. Well, we've got some games going on in the top 25 that are pretty hefty, including tonight. Got social media saying that we maybe have an upset alert here. Oregon riding high off of their win over Ohio State. They're number two in the nation. They go to Purdue. Purdue has a recent history of beating top three teams in Ross-Ade Stadium. The only problem, Purdue is 1-5. Oregon is favored by 29.5 points. Woody, are you believing in that Purdue dream?
No.
All right.
Oregon's favored by 29. They may not win by 29, but they'll win the football game.
I got all that buildup for a big fat no. To be fair, though, I don't buy them either. I got Oregon big. I don't know if they cover the spread necessarily. Purdue does play tough at home. Most Big Ten teams do. So Oregon may not win by the 30 that the spread's implying, but I do think, yeah, Oregon's got that one made. And if they don't, I don't know, we'll have something to laugh about next week. Speaking of upset alerts, and this one is one I do believe in, number six Miami, they have not impressed anybody. They go to number, well, they're not ranked. They're 4-2. There's the numbers for you. Louisville. Louisville's 4-2 in Kentucky. That's a tough place to play as well. Louisville brings the house down. Miami only favored by 5. Now, this is, of course, we're on to Saturday morning now. The only big game tonight was the Oregon-Purdue one. But Miami at Louisville tomorrow morning, what do you think, Woody?
Louisville could take that one. You know, Miami pull a bonehead play or two, which is not out of the realm of possibility. Louisville could very well win that football game.
And I think they could give up a decent amount of points in the process. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've got Miami winning, but man, I've got them winning close. I think they're going to skate by the skin of their nose once again. Nebraska goes to Indiana. Now, typically, I mean, 3 years ago, we would have laughed at this game, but Nebraska's 5-1. Indiana's number 16 in the country, 6-0. Kurt Cignetti at the helm for the Hoosiers. Indiana favored by 6.5. Do the Hoosiers move up to 7-0?
I think so. I have a lot of confidence in Cignetti, being that he coached under Saban at Alabama for a number of years. And he's done well everywhere he's been since he left the university. He's built some programs.
Let me ask you this. Is it Cignetti? Is the G silent?
Mm-hmm.
I have been saying that gentleman's name wrong a frightening amount of times. So forgive me for that, Kurt Cignetti. Anyway, moving on here, number 12, Notre Dame, goes to Georgia Tech. Once again, another upset alert here. Notre Dame is good. They are not great. Someone else who's good, Georgia Tech, they're 5-2. Atlanta's a tough place to play. Do you think the Yellow Jackets have a chance here?
I think they have a real good chance playing in Atlanta.
Yeah. Notre Dame favored by 9.5.
Yeah. I think that could be one that could be an upset.
Yeah, I think I have Notre Dame, but Georgia Tech, I'm going to have them covering that spread. I think that's a 7-point game. All right, number 24 Michigan goes to number 22 Illinois. Let me just lay some groundwork for you here. Michigan, they're the main target of this rank Vanderbilt talk. They're like, why is Vanderbilt not ranked? And Michigan is. Michigan's 4-2. They have basically no quality wins. But here they are, still in the top 25. They go to number 22, Illinois, the Fighting Illini, 5-1 on the year. Michigan, nonetheless, though, still favored by 3.5 heading on the road. Do you have Illinois winning?
I do. I have Illinois winning straight up.
Yeah.
Brett Billimer's going to have those guys ready to play.
I got Illinois 28-20. Something like that. I got it being, you know, not too high scoring of a game. I've got it being competitive because Michigan has the talent. They've got the physicality to win. But it's just a matter of whether or not they will. And I don't think they do. I think Illinois is for real. Their only loss is to Penn State. So mm-hmm. If that's your only loss and you have a win over Nebraska, you're their sole loss. You're doing pretty good for yourself. So give me the Illini there. I'm right there with you, Woody. All righty. Game of the hour. Alabama, Tennessee. We got it being close. Who do you got, my friend?
I got Bama by 3.
Oh, so you got Bama hitting the spread right on the nose.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have a score, like an exact score in mind?
27-24.
All right. I've got Tennessee, and my score here, 26-24. So we did not discuss our scores beforehand. This is 100% coincidence. So you got Bama, I got Tennessee. We'll see what happens, man. And hopefully there's good news to report for the Tide next week. You've been listening to the Roll Tide Radio Talk Show every Friday from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola.
You're listening to ESPN Pensacola, 1330 a.m., 99.1 FM. All sports, all the time. WEBY, Milton, Pensacola.